And good morning to you. This is the Friday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. You can reach us at 434-1790. You can reach us at 266-IVOB, which is 266-5682. You can also send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. Graham Vaughan is taking care of things technical, and Dennis Johnson, your host, and we will be with you until 1 o'clock this Friday. Seems like I've been starting these programs in the last couple of weeks, extending condolences. I want to extend my condolences to the family of Ronnie Cumberbatch and, of course, his friends, people in the musical fraternity. Just remember talking about Romy a week or so ago and then hearing of Ronnie. I've been associated with Ronnie and his family for a long while. I do know the gentleman personally, or knew him personally, and really is a moment of sadness. I also noticed that the Muslim community in Trinidad and Tobago is celebrating the end of the Feast of Ramadan, which is the Eid al-Fitr celebrations. I don't know if the Muslim brethren in Barbados have seen the moon and joining them, or if they are still fasting, but that too is on the agenda. And of course, the just delivered budget has been on everybody's mind, sat yesterday in the producer's chair listening to the various comments. I think the imposition on water is the one that would have struck me the most, although everybody seems to be focused on other aspects of it. For those on fixed income, and yes, we waste water in Barbados, let me say that. It's one of the utilities that I think we abuse the most. The problems associated with our sewage system, well known and in need of urgent repair. But I think Barbadians have been accustomed to having a regular and mostly uninterrupted water supply over the years. And it is, as I said, I heard a caller yesterday talking about turning off the tap while you're brushing your teeth or while you're soaping in the shower. And then there are those with solar heaters that run the water for a while to get it to a temperature they require while not being in the shower at all. We've abused water. I see gentleman here has raised his arm. So get a good solar system and you wouldn't have to do that. That's all I'll tell you. But anyway, water is one of the things we abuse. But it's a necessity of life. And that was the imposition that struck me the most. That's not the one people are talking about the most, but I have a few questions that I hope in the fullness of time the government of Barbados will get around to addressing. I don't get caught up in the politics of party. I think the fixing of the issues and good governance are the things I concentrate on. And one of the things I would like to see happen, because it is something that we'd notice up in your face, is the rationalization or the rationalizing of vehicles being used by government agencies. They're easily to distinguish because they got pretty license plates and they're very pretty. A lot of them are new. So are we going to go to fuel efficient vehicles? Are we going to go to electric vehicles? Or are we going to continue to see double cabs and SUVs? You know, not quite sure what they're doing with big emblems down the side. And you ask yourself, why they need one of those though? I've never seen them carrying anything in the tree, but there's a tree. What's it being used for? And what's the cost of keeping them on the road? When the public starts to see that type of action being taken by those who are in control of the reins of power, then they don't mind the tightened belts. Then they don't mind the increases because they see everyone as carrying the burden. See, one of the things is that sometimes you get blinded by the trappings and the trimmings of office. The other thing I'd like to see is a synchronizing of the location of some of the agencies. People have complained about having to go to Kalamurok and then to Warren's to sign up for unemployment benefits. Those are the things that would assist the taxpaying public in believing that you're working with them. Corporate communication specialists who actually communicate with the public when they have questions. because there are people sending all sorts of WhatsApp messages asking about how about people on disability income, will they get an increase, and will be people going to BIMAP get a decrease? And all these questions are being thrown at the host of Brass Tacks. Brass Tacks is not a government agency. And heaven knows I've been throwing my mouth into all sorts of things that perhaps don't even concern me because of some of the things that are happening. But it is when those little issues are addressed, little but can clearly be seen by the public, then the weight of carrying the burden of state becomes a little more tolerable. Let's hear what's on your mind. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. And you?
You're not too bad. A couple of things here, Mr. Johnson. I agree with what you said just now, your comments. But remember that this is not a perfect world. And
never thought it was, sir. I'm the most imperfect person in the world.
No. What I'm telling you, the things that you're saying, it will make a perfect world. And then maybe you have a perfect world. There will be no need for police. So therefore, you agree with me?
No, I don't.
Why is that?
So because there is no such thing as a perfect world.
Okay.
Every time you fix something, there will be something else that you would have to address. There will always be something you have to address. Because when you fix one, you may not be able to see what is going to happen down the road. And somebody who you've paid no attention to suddenly comes up and say, oh, by the way, you know the thing you fix? So and so and so has happened. That's how the world works, sir.
Yeah, let's go on.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the water bill. Now, let's assume the previous government had increased the water bill, went through all the procedures with the union. You know, strange enough, that the people of Barbados, they were object to it. They were marched left, right, and center. They would be fed up, disgust. But yet we have a raise of the water bills. And everybody seems to be, okay, it's pretty all right. It's reasonable. And then let me draw an example for you. A friend of mine was paying the water bill. I averaged $130 a month. That increase now gone to near $200. That would include the $150 per day for the sanitation and the sewage system, right? They were struggling to pay that. What you think will happen now with the new bill that would be coming out?
They'll have to cut down on something else, sir.
And what would they cut down on?
I don't know your friend, sir. Is your friend? You talk to them. I don't know.
The children said it's cool to pay at private school.
Really?
Of course.
Okay.
Then they have to pay a mortgage for the house that I've paid.
That they're earning $130. Okay. Sir, no. Then it means that they're living beyond their means.
I don't think so.
Well, that's you.
They're trying to survive.
Well,
and
okay.
I hear this term living beyond their means. Explain what is that really mean.
I will tell you what it means, sir.
Ah.
It means that if this company paid me $8,000 a month to do what I'm doing, and I went and took out a mortgage, and I would pay $3,000 a month for that mortgage, and I had a car loan that I was paying $1,500 a month for the car loan, and I had a jacuzzi in my house that I used periodically, that I went out on weekends, one day a week, and had a meal with my family, and we took an annual vacation overseas because I was making $8,000 a month. If this company decided to cut my salary from $8,000 a month to $5,000 a month, it meant that I could no longer take annual vacations. It meant I could no longer eat a meal out a week because I would be, quote, living beyond my means, end of quote, because my means now moved from $8,000 a month to $5,000 a month, so I would have to cut back on some things.
No.
That's what it means, sir.
No, sir.
To
it
me, but you just asked me to explain what
okay,
I think.
Your,
I just tell you and you're telling me no?
Okay, my explanation that is that you have to budget for your new salary.
My new means. I will be living beyond my means. So
no,
that's English.
No.
If I continue living the same way, my means have been reduced. So I have less means. Certainly English language.
I have
the one thing I understand, English language.
Uh, but I have a little difficulty with it.
Well, most people do, but it's the English.
But let me tell you,
I write it that way.
Okay, let me tell you, Mr. Johnson. Years ago, when I was a youngster, right, we used to go by a missionary church, and especially when they had revivals. And many of you hear this same song, "Just as I am, if one plead that thy own blood was shed for me." We were fascinated at how these sisters and brothers would go to the altar to pray and also to ask God for forgiveness of sins. We find it very intriguing. But you know something, Mr. Johnson, it's not when I become a man later in life. I realize something, you know. There are some of us whose sins can fill the old public library in town. And are you aware of any person or politician that you know that their sins are that many that would not fill the old volumes of books that you be having in the public library, sir?
So I have no idea what people do.
Oh, you don't?
No, I don't.
Oh, so you're living in Mars?
Maybe. Perhaps you should go there too. It would be a
Thank
good place
you, sir.
To live. So, listen. I have no idea who sins, what their sins are, or whether they term sins. I am not God. I am not his appointed person. I am not an apostle. I am nothing. Right? Sin is between people and their creator, because he knows their mind, the reason why they did it. I don't. I don't get caught up in them things. Somebody used to tell me that they mentioned getting what? Energy efficient vehicles in the budget. That's not what I want to hear. I want to hear the rationalization of the vehicle. You want to know what I mean by the rationalization of the vehicle? Let me explain it to those of you. I tell you, English language has already confused people. Will there be a clearly articulated policy on the type of vehicle to be used, the reason why that type of vehicle is required, and the energy efficiency of the vehicle and the cost or saving to our national purse? That's the extent of my question to the Honorable Chamber. Because we're talking about openness and transparency. Right? So I need to know. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I am all right.
Yeah, I'm glad that you started to talk about English, because I'm not concerned about the election at this point in time, because I think the Prime Minister, in his wisdom, told the people, blame him. So I don't know what people are worrying about. They blame him for his Democratic Labour Party 30-0 defeat. But, you know, I was reading through some papers, and I bought it on this article, and I want to deal with ambiguity in a pun, because you're very versed in English. I am not as versed as you are, because you're the radio personality that's likened by most.
Really? So, you're wrong on that one too, but go ahead.
I'm looking at March, the 20th of March, 2018, and this was a real piece of English put in place by the Prime Minister. He used the word, Prime Minister advises take money. But I don't want to read with that. I don't want to go to that paragraph. The paragraph that he's dealing with is where he said that he told the people before that he was a sleeping giant, but at this point in time, as the Democratic Labour Party is a sleeping giant. You see how he used personality, and now he used the whole organization.
Because he thinks or was led to believe that the organization was him.
Exactly.
Now or he was an extension of the organization, or the organization was a reflection of him.
Yeah. So no. He said the sleeping giant has now been awakened, and it will clear everything away from its path as we go into the next general election. But what is important now, we're dealing with it, whether you accept it as a pun or this is a piece of ambiguity. Sure also promised, I read it from PM, take money, this March the 20th. Sure also promised to address the most recent report of the Public Accounts Committee which was chaired by Labour Party leader Mayor Motley. Listen to this. Tell me what you interpret from this one. I am looking forward to telling Barbados Labour Party where the thieves can be found. I know where they are. I have told my colleagues, don't worry about any PSC report. I am going to deal with that. See me. See and be there. He is telling them to come to a meeting. But listen to this, the last paragraph. I agree with Dave Combat that when they go low, we have to go high. But I was born in St. Philip, and my mother used to keep pigs. And you cannot go into a pig pen to clean it and come out like you smelling as though you got on cologne. Tell me what you understand by that.
Means that when you lie with the hogs, you smell like one.
All right. I said you know where the thieves are. You remember what I told you?
That, you see, that, sir, is what leads the station into trouble. This is down to brass tacks. The WhatsApp message says to Mr. Johnson, there seems to be a huge misunderstanding about the imposition of fees to be collected by way of the water bills. The water rates have not been increased. Householders are being asked to make a contribution for the collection of garbage. It will be collected by the BWA. People continue to talk about an increase of water rates. Wrong, in capital letters. I responded $1.50 a day on the bills to be issued by the BWA, so that's why it's being called a water bill. Person responded, it's not an increase in water rates, and there's a huge difference, and I understand and agree with that. So I will not refer to it as an increase in water rates. With the same distinction I make for the road tax, I will ensure that I make sure that I make that point to people when they call and talk about water rates. Thank you for the nudge, because I spent the last week and a half trying to explain gasoline bills to people. Brass tacks, good morning. Okay, that person decided they didn't want to talk to me. Oh, by the way, I got a response telling me that the Muslim community in Barbados did, in fact, see the moon. It was sighted yesterday evening, so it is indeed the end of their fast. So Eid Mubarak to my Muslim friends and the Muslim community in Barbados. And may your fast be worthwhile and rewarded. Good morning.
Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
It always being said that everybody have a right to their opinion.
That is correct.
Right. So, in my opinion, if my bill come in higher than it normally was coming in at, I'm going to say that my water bill
has gone
increased.
Up. Yep, which is right. What I said to the person. If it comes on the water bill, it's going to be called a water bill.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, because I remember the solid waste tax, and when the former finance minister that actually wanted to implement it, and it was being told that it was being called a water tax.
How was it being applied?
How it was being applied?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wasn't eventual. It didn't get through, so I
how, so how was it being applied? But you must have heard what he said. How was the solid waste tax going to be calculated then? You remember?
No, I can't remember.
Good. Now, here's the difference. What do you want me to tell you? You tell me everybody's
right,
opinion
I,
is
I can't
own.
Recall.
Okay. Here's the thing. If I say to you that you're going to pay a solid waste tax that is a percentage of what you use, then the calculation becomes how much you use.
Mm-hmm.
You see the difference?
Okay.
If I tell you I will charge you $1.50 a day for a solid waste tax to get rid of garbage and to fix the sewage system, that's a fixed $1.50 per day. It is not a percentage of what you use.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things I've heard argued by people on this program, including my fellow moderators, is that they would have preferred a percentage of usage. So in other words, if you use $20, 10% of that added on. If I use $200, 10% of that added on, because they feel it would be, more equitable. So it is a question of how it is applied that makes the difference to people.
Okay.
And that's why I asked you, how was it going to be applied under what was proposed? Yeah, go ahead.
And I will let people know that the difference between two parties is that one is trying to be more clever. Okay.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean either, sir, because that word is a word that people just get actioned for. But go ahead. Yeah, I just warning you.
Okay. I prefer to use those terms than to use Beijing terms, because we Beijing use terms that on a technical level they mean they mean the same thing really, but we will get in trouble by using them.
That is correct, which is why I tell you, clever is one of them.
Okay, all right.
You see, hold on. You see, and that's why I come back to English language. No wonder they say in the Common Entrance, English language was a little bit worse this year. Let me say to you that there are certain words in law, and that's whether you're Bajan, English, or whatever, because it come out of English law, that people consider to be actionable, and lawyers that take people to court for using them. Okay, and you and I may be having a conversation, and I may say to you, "He's a clever man, you know," and you would smile, and I would smile. No, somebody else would say that I mean insincere and up to trickery and skullduggery and go and make a big issue of it. So there are some words that we use that when we're talking to one another is cool, and when not, we got issues. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay.
Tell me.
All right. I can't understand for life of me what's so hard about your first caller understanding people living above the means.
Well, sir, he wanted to have a conversation with me. I just think he likes to converse with me at that level. That's been going on for years.
And I think that this is the price that we got to pay for living above our means, right? That's all I can say about that one, Mr. Johnson. But I want to take you back to the last election. You recall, after the Democratic Labour Party won, the former Minister of Tourism said that it was God. He believed God had an intervention in it and so on. Right. And now we are hearing that it is God that have a hand now in the Barbados Labour Party winning. And I think that you raised the question, so what about the BLP? So I will ask the same question now. Isn't the people on the Democratic side wasn't praying to God too? Right? You remember that conversation?
So I have never entered those conversations. Well, I have made those comments when I make those conversations for a reason, and it's this. I've often said this. When people win the lottery, for example, they say God has answered my prayer. Mm-hmm. And I ask them, so what happened when I pray to win the lottery too? And he says to me, it's not your turn yet, it's Graham's turn now. Has he not answered my prayer? He just tell me not yet. Mm-hmm. So I never enter this who's speaking on behalf of God thing. I just say what my feeling is and let people say whatever they think.
Mm-hmm. But I will say this though, right? Yeah, that's a good point you made there, because I know in the Bible there's a saying, who God loves, he's chastened, right? So I believe that the Democratic Labour Party wants chastising, because I could agree with yesterday moderator what she said last week, that there was a...
You always agree with yesterday's moderator, don't you?
Yeah.
Sorry, right. I couldn't help that one. I was misbehaving, but I couldn't help that one. Go ahead.
Right.
You agreed with yesterday's moderator.
Yeah. Well, she made a statement about the arrogance that was starting to show. And that
starting,
is a fact.
Starting, sir?
Huh?
Starting?
So I kind of know, wondering if, I wonder if Peter Wickham not going to bring up the conversation on term limits. Because it seems they happen to be Barbados Labour Party too, you know.
So the Barbados Labour Party, according to the presentation of their proposals, that term limits are one of the things they look at and have implemented. It was in the throne speech somewhere. If I look through the throne speech, I am sure I can find it, because I have the throne speech here somewhere. But term limits, one of the things that came up in the throne speech as being something that the government will do.
Mm-hmm. Right. I tend to agree with it, because I see now that as these governments begin to get into their second term, you see a different attitude being, So I believe that the power is seen to get to them head. Right, because
that's what power does, sir.
Yeah, and I agree. So up to yesterday, they're talking with a lady, and that's the reason. She said that her whole household is these, but she couldn't actually vote for the Democratic Labour Party because she actually pointed at the former prime minister as who to blame. Right, he started behaving as if he running the house.
But let me ask you this question: why do we always select somebody to blame as opposed to trying to fix the problem? The prime minister was one man. One man sitting with a cabinet of what, 16 people? If you tell me that the majority rules when you talk to me about everything else in life, 16 people could not tell one man, I don't agree with you if they don't? Really?
Right, I agree that they should have, but well, he himself take the blame for it too, right?
But what does the blame do, which is the question I'm asking. Does the blame wipe out the fact that 16 other people agreed with you?
No.
Oh, good. Okay. Go
ahead. Right. You wonder why.
I don't know.
The rest of them couldn't at least do something or say something. Cause all of them were like they were just following, doing the same thing.
And that's why they all fell.
Right. And I think what break up the party more is that extension. You know that 90 days thing. And they wasn't saying nothing. They wasn't saying nothing that 90 days.
So why y'all didn't say so then?
Huh?
Why nobody didn't tell them so then?
Like, who you mean,
the supporters of the Democratic Labour Party. Why did you not say, and that's what I don't like about parties. What, to me, and I kept, so if you go back and listen to any of the podcasts of Brass Tacks, you will hear me saying over and over and over and over when people call and cuss me that I believe your friend is a man who puts his arm around you, grabs you by the throat and say, you're falling off the cliff. Come back. There's a big hole there. Rather than waiting until you push your foot in the hole and fall down and say, ho hoy, you're in the hole. So if you're supporters of a party, and if in your opinion your party is going off the rails, if in your opinion one person or two people are making decisions that are going against your grain, stand up and say something is your party. Or so you say. You pay dues. You sit down with them. You line with them. You have lunch with them. You say, fellas, this wrong. Mm-hmm. They either kick you out or they listen to you.
Well, I'm a member of the party. Just
support
you know,
them.
The one that I tend to like more. Mm-hmm. Right? And I came on this radio with David Ellis. I was criticizing the Prime Minister's style. Right? I didn't tend to agree with David Ellis then. But I was supporting that style because I believe that he actually does really what a prime minister is supposed to be, but we want more like presidential style of leadership. But I will leave you with this one here, Dennis, for one of your callers earlier. John King had a song, If Money Could Talk, and that was when the Barbersville Party was in power. You have a nice day.
You too, sir. 434-1790, Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, sir.
Yes, Sir Dennis.
Not yet. Dang it happened.
But you get an early honor.
Early honor?
early.
Honor's way heavy on your shoulder, boy. Tell me.
Just before the elections just gone, I think I heard the then Prime Minister say how sport could be $1 million revenue earner for Barbados. I know that you have some liking for sport. But what I saw was a move away from the recognized sports in the world, those that are accredited, Olympic, international sport. Not that I had any objection to having four tournaments in Silver Hill, three in where we have them, because it found a little an avenue for some of the young people to get
the energies
and get that right, expend some energy. But when you look at it island-wide, and you know the benefit. Mm-hmm. You would have to ask yourself a few questions. Dennis, I've been in sport most probably, could be easily 60 years and change.
I was going to say 40. I didn't know you did that long, man. No, you're batting well.
40,
I thought about 40, man.
No, it's like 50.
You see, you sneak some runs in on me, all right?
Yes, man,
that's overthrows, okay.
Yes. And when you look at, we're in the Caribbean, one of the recognized forces in netball.
Yes, we were.
We don't need an outstanding, you know, state-of-the-art netball stadium if you can't afford it. We've grown accustomed to going to netball at the National Stadium. You know, we say National Stadium next door. All you have to do is get a roof on, put your floor down. Because the concrete and asphalt, that's the thing of the past. The girls will last a bit longer, injuries will be reduced. I thought that you could have looked at that. Nobody looked at it. The National Stadium. I spoke to the last minister at Briar Hall in one of the under 19 tournaments that are held every year. And I remember saying to him, don't let the stadium just go to action. Take the roofs off. If the roofs are
the problem.
And I hope that they do take them off now, because let me tell you, they pose great, great problems to the people living in the area. Because with the hurricane season on, I mean, you can have three, four, five, a dozen loose sheets going down in Bush Hall anytime. That is how bad it is there. I pass there on a daily, you know, daily I pass by. Now,
so you mean that entire area is a hazard?
You only have to go there. But, and I mean, it's so beautifully located, the spot everything.
Yeah.
That's a place that we really should never let get out of your hands. I said, but why can't you take the roofs off? And just, if you can do one stand at a time, do that.
You know, sir, one of the challenges we have in this country, right? And I hope that with the euphoria of a change in administration and people talking about a fresh air and new thinking and the fact that we're going to beg for money anyhow, we look at how we develop our country to earn as opposed to develop it so that people get rich. There's a difference. There's a difference.
Well,
there's a difference. Let me say there's a difference.
Very careful.
Sir, I'm being very careful, but I'm also being very direct. Okay? Because sometimes when I look at what we call development, what I see is an avenue for people to get rich as opposed to enriching
the
people. Yeah, the people in general.